This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The Scholar Report. We begin at home for the question of recession, and we go overseas for the question of recession. I welcome Chris Riegel. He is the CEO of Scholar.com, a global technology firm transforming the retail space with digital signage. At home, Silicon Valley. Chris, a very good evening to you. I learned a wonderful term. It's very colorful. About zombies prowling Silicon Valley. Zombies, if I understand correctly, are defined as tech startups, new firms, great ideas. However, these zombies have been living not on cash flow or profit. They've been living on VC funds, not even borrowed money, second or third or fourth rounds of funds. And those zombies are now exiting Silicon Valley. Does that explain the empty parking lot still? Good evening to you, Chris.
Good evening, John. The empty parking lots in Silicon Valley are more attributable to the demand for many employees to work at home eternally. But with the new zombie conditions, having lived through two bubbles before in 2001 and 2008, what you're seeing are the private equity, the venture capitalists, the Sand Hill Road groups that are pulling back. So you're seeing equity and investors pulling back from the market saying, hey, maybe we don't need 18 different grocery delivery companies, 10 different payment companies, 14 different online car buying companies that have never made money. So you're seeing the capital industry pull back from tech to be able to compensate for what's likely going to be a bit of a nasty recession here in second and third quarter.
And the empty parking lots, you mentioned that people working at home. Elon Musk, who is always in the news because he likes to be, he's his own marketing manager, commented about his Tesla executives, I believe, that if they are not prepared to pretend to work 40 hours minimum per week, they should find somebody else to pretend to work for. This is a debate ongoing now for the last year as we've moved into the recovery and moved away from fears of the worst of the pandemic. Working at the office and working at home. In New York, it's a hybrid affair right now. Some days in the office, some days not. Often, however, it's a story from bank to bank or customer to customer. What Musk speaks to, however, is not a hybrid. It's straight up. Do you hear this elsewhere right now that there are companies saying you get to the office and work there or you don't work for us?
John, through the pandemic, many employers became much more flexible in terms of the at-work requirements, allowing more employees to work from home. But that is kind of a pendulum. That's now swinging back more towards the employer, principally because you weren't able to, for the last 2 years, find employees anywhere. Now you have, especially in tech, but also in retail, in banking, in other areas, something that you've not seen in a long time, which is layoffs. There's a large number of layoffs starting to cascade through multiple industries as the economy worsens. Those layoffs are putting more people out on the street and making employees more available. So you have employers saying, hey, this work from home is really not working and not working for the employer, so you need to come back to the office, Mr. Musk being the most vocal of those statements.
I mentioned an article and magazine that I've talked about before. It seems especially pertinent given Mr. Musk's remarks. This is Nature Magazine, the 5 May 22 publication. A research article by Melanie Brooks and Jonathan Levov, two researcher professors, finding that in the final paragraph, our results suggest that virtual interaction comes with a cognitive cost for creative idea generation. Translation, ideas are best worked out person to person, either in groups or one-on-one, and that virtual communication, either one-on-one or in groups, is not preferred for those people involved, knowledge workers involved in creativity. Have you seen evidence of this in these last 2 years, Chris, in your business or in the business of your colleagues?
Absolutely. You're seeing it kind of send shockwaves through the tech industry, where you see more and more companies that the product innovation has slowed, new releases have slowed, complex products are slowing in their pace because teams are less effective working remotely, less effective speaking to each other over Zoom or Teams. And part of the drive by Mr. Musk and others to get people back in the office is getting creative teams working creatively again together, which they cannot do when separated and connecting to each other on a virtual system.
Working together, we go immediately to China, which has been the source of despair and also productivity these last decades, the Chinese miracle, AKA. Well, the Chinese miracle just hit something more than a bump in the road. If it was a normal economy, we would say it's in recession, they'll work out of it, they're getting rid of their excesses, creative destruction. The Chinese Communist Party does not allow that word recession to appear. So what we can see is a property price collapse. Property is how the Chinese industrial people save money. They invest in apartments they don't intend to live in because they can't get their money out of the country easily. However, at the same time, there's talk of unemployment and there's a slowdown caused by perhaps the lockdowns or perhaps by worldwide demand. You have business on the mainland, you have business throughout Asia. Is it generally understood that China's in a slowdown, aka recession?
It's certainly generally understood on the manufacturing and property sides that things are not optimal. Chinese are very hesitant to use the word recession, but you're seeing unemployment numbers tick up. You're seeing the Chinese demand for raw materials from Australia or other to fill those factories slowing. And you're also seeing the effects of reshoring that are starting to have some impact in China of companies like Apple or others moving products out of China from what they've learned in the last 2 years of supply chain risk and disruption.
And does China have an answer for this? Because They got this far by being the exporter of the world. Are they adjusting to your understanding, Chris?
So the big four Chinese state-owned banks are trying to increase liquidity in the system and throw money at the problem. In that environment, the only option for the government is to try to make sure that people stay employed and happy. And they're doing that by increasing liquidity when the rest of the world is removing liquidity, excess liquidity from the system. So the Chinese are starting to run counter to the methodologies by other economies to lower inflation. But within China, social stability is by far the most important thing for the government.
Yeah, social stability, meaning that we pretend that there's prosperity and you pretend you're obedient. All right, now let's move to the other part of the world. That would be Europe and the United States. We do use the word recession. Europe is now recognizing, at least the remarks of the European Central Bank, that there must be a tightening, that inflation is unacceptable, that food security in the world and fuel security here are a challenge to our elected officials, and therefore they will tighten, which means that the European Central Bank, because they've had negative rates, they'll come back to neutral or zero eventually, maybe even this year. In the US, we're told that the Federal Reserve will continue to hike through the rest of this year to contain inflation. Are you seeing right now the slowdown that is called a recession? Because there's this new report from Jamie Dimon of the world's largest bank that the recession is delayed 6 to 9 months. What do you see, Chris?
John, you're seeing the effects of that recession in the last 2 weeks hitting the retail sector heavily. Now tech, with companies like Microsoft and others having less than ideal quarters. So you're seeing those impacts of the recession in the Microsofts, the Facebooks, the Snaps of the world. You're seeing the beginning of an advertising recession as well. As CPG, consumer products companies, are getting hammered by inflation on fuel and transport costs, they're starting to pull back their advertising budgets, and that's sending shockwaves through the tech industry.
And the delay, because the what Mr. Dimon says is the consumer still is well-armed to continue to buy 6 to 9 months. Can you see that in travel? Can you see that at the airports? Can you see that in the franchises, that the consumer is still eager to spend?
You're seeing tremendous amount of pressure in those franchise businesses, whereby which the consumer is still eager to spend, but labor is still at a high cost. Material costs are spiraling up, food costs and others. So you're seeing good volume, but poor profitability in many, many of those business models and challenges that are coming from that being caught in that pincer move.
Back to that empty parking lot in Silicon Valley. Do we expect that parking lot to be filling up now? Because if there are jobs that are no longer begging for workers, that would mean that workers would want to keep their jobs and no longer jump from building to building in Southern California. Is that what we can look for in these next months, Chris?
I think you'll see some return to work, but the Valley is still incredibly overheated with very high salaries, very high cost of living. What I think you'll probably see is more companies migrating out of Silicon Valley and out of California because it just does not work for those businesses anymore. And that's likely to further impact the California economy over the next 1 to 3 years.
Chris Riegel is the CEO of Scholar.com, a global technology firm transforming the retail space. This is the Scholar Report. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.